Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. You need to learn how to truly live by every word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
I recently heard someone say that they had been reading a particular book in the Bible, and they said the more that they read it, they understood that the law has been done away with, that God's law has been done away with for us today, and that we should all be living on, quote, the other side of the cross, end quote, they said. Living on the other side of the cross, and that the law of God is done away with, that it's not about the law. And, of course, that's not an unusual comment. Most of you have probably heard similar comments to that. Maybe many of you have been taught that very same thing. This is a commonly held belief, commonly taught idea in today's world of Christianity. But is it what your Bible teaches? Is it really what the Bible teaches? Is the law of God done away with, and does your Bible tell you that? Is that what the first century apostles taught? Is that what the apostle Paul taught as he went around teaching Gentiles the way of God, the truth of God? Did he teach them to keep God's law? You know, a law that they had never even heard before, never had been taught before. Did he teach them to keep it? Or did he teach them that it had been done away with? Did the apostle Paul himself keep it? Did the apostle Peter keep the law of God? What about Jesus Christ? Is this what Jesus Christ taught? Did he teach that the law has been done away for us today and that we should all be living on the other side of the cross? Is that what he taught? What about Jesus Christ and how he lived? Did he keep the law of God? Did he keep the commandments of his Father? And did he teach others to do the same? Let's get into the Bible again. Remember, let's go into this subject and not have preconceived ideas and just look and see what does the Bible actually say. Now, a lot has been said about this subject by others, but let's just look and see, well, what did Jesus Christ himself say about this subject of the law? Matthew 5 and verse 17, Jesus Christ speaking here, and he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." Now, that's very different than what this other person said, that the law is done away with, and we should all live on the other side of the cross, whatever that really means. I know what they mean, but it's a little bit of an unusual way to say it. But that's a very different concept and belief and a very different idea than what Jesus Christ himself just said here. Now, I wonder if this person has read this verse here in Matthew 5 and verse 17. Or I wonder how long it's been since that person has read this verse. I wonder if you have ever read this verse. If you haven't, and if you're just listening, well, go get your Bible. You can pause this program. If you're listening to it live on the radio, well, you can listen, but then you can go back to kpcg.fm and you can hear this program again on demand and pause it and go through these scriptures on your own. You can go to thetrumpet.com also and access this program and other fantastic materials and programs that will help you in really understanding your Bible and getting to know what God's Word says and the truth of Almighty God. Verse 17 again, "Think not, Christ said, that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." And if you look up that word, it means to magnify. It means to fill it to the full. Jesus Christ said, well, don't think that I came to do away with my Father's commandments. Don't think that I came to destroy the law, to wipe it out, to make it of no effect for us today. And the prophets, he said, now those are the writers of the Old Testament. Now, what do you hear in most evangelical churches today, most Protestant churches, and from what the Catholics teach as well. Now, what do you hear from them? Well, they tell you that the law is of no effect. The law is done away. They tell you that the Old Testament is not important. And essentially, they're saying that the law has been destroyed by Jesus Christ. The Old Testament or the prophets, the writings of those prophets has been destroyed or nullified, done away with. And yet Jesus Christ said, don't think that. And yet that's what so many people teach and proclaim. Jesus Christ said, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to magnify, to fill it to the full. You see, to fill it up and make it even more impactful. Now, if you doubt what I'm saying here, verse 18, Christ says, for truly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no way pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, those are Jesus Christ's own words. Those are some pretty strong words. He said, truly, I say unto you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or tittle will pass away from the law. And going down, verse 21, he says, well, now you've heard it said by them of old that you shall not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Well, what law is he talking about here? He's going right to the Ten Commandments. There's no doubt about which law he's talking about. And he just said, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets, the writers of the Old Testament and what they wrote. I didn't come to destroy, I came to magnify it. And until heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will pass away from the law. And then he gets right into the Ten Commandments and says, well, you've heard it said that you should not kill. And if you do, you're in danger of judgment. Verse 22, he says, but I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Reka, that means vain, calling someone empty or worthless. It really was an abusive epithet. It's like cursing someone out, being angry at someone without a cause, cursing at someone, calling them a fool. And he says, well, if you do those things, you're going to be in danger of Gehenna fire, in danger of the lake of fire or eternal death he's talking about. So is that Jesus Christ doing away with the law, or is that Jesus Christ doing exactly what he said in Matthew 5 and verse 17, just a few verses before? He says, don't think that I came to do away with the law. No, I came to magnify it. And here he spells out one of those Ten Commandments and says, now you've heard that it's been said of old that you shouldn't kill. And if you do kill someone, if you do murder someone, you're guilty and you're in danger of judgment. And then he says, but I'm saying to you, even magnifying it beyond that, that if you hate someone, you see, if you even have the spirit of murder in your heart, you're in danger of judgment. You're in danger of eternal death. You see, doing away with the law or magnifying the law. Which is it? Verse 27, skipping down, here is another example. Jesus Christ is still talking here. This is in what most people know as the Sermon on the Mount. What people call it, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, they call that the Sermon on the Mount. So this is him explaining this and teaching this to his own disciples. And after he explains that about the spirit of murder, then he gets on into verse 27 and says, you have heard that it was said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. Well, there he's listing off another one of the Ten Commandments. And what does he do now? Does he do away with that command? Think about this. Think about what people teach, that the commandments of God are done away with, that God would send his son to this earth to do away with and destroy all of the writings of the prophets, all of the Old Testament books, and destroy and do away with the commandments of God and say, well, it's not about the law. The law is in the past. The law is done away with, and we're focused on the other side of the cross. Now, does that make any sense? Does it make any sense that God would say, you know, that law about killing people, murdering people, let's do away with that? Does it make any sense that God would say, you know, that law about not committing adultery, let's do away with that? Does that even make any sense? It doesn't make any sense at all. And it's not what the Bible teaches, and it is not what Jesus Christ himself taught. Now, you need to think, and you need to meditate on what you're hearing, meditate on these words, pray about it, ask God for understanding. And by the way, King David said, only those who keep the commandments will have a good understanding. So if you want a good understanding, you better think seriously about keeping the commandments, all of the commandments of God. But getting back here to verse 27, Jesus Christ said, you have heard that it was said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her, he has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now that is magnifying the law. That is not doing away with the law. That's taking the law of God and magnifying it from the letter of the law to the spirit of the law. That's what Jesus Christ is talking about when he says, I'm not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, or to fill it to the full, or to magnify it. He filled it. He magnified it from not just the letter of the law, but even he wants us to keep it in the spirit of the law. John 4 and verse 24 says that God's looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth. You see, not just that we refrain ourselves from murdering someone, but we really want to, but we hold ourselves back. You see, is that really pleasing to God? Or does he want us to grow to the point to where the spirit of murder never even enters your mind? Or what about holding yourself back from committing adultery with a woman, or a woman wanting to commit adultery with a man? You refrain yourself, you restrain yourself, but inside you just are burning to go forward and do that. You see, now God didn't do away with those commands. He's magnified it through Jesus Christ and wants us to grow to the point to where we don't even look on someone and lust after them, or we never even have the spirit of hatred and the spirit of murder in our hearts or in our minds towards someone else. That's what Jesus Christ said about the law. He said, don't think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to magnify it. And he magnified it to where we keep not just the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. In Mark 7, Jesus Christ said, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. He also said, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own traditions. Now, let's be honest here. Take a close look at this subject. Eliminate all prejudice. Eliminate any preconceived ideas, because according to Jesus Christ, saying that people worship him in vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, well, look, according to Christ, it's entirely possible to think you are following him and to think that you are worshiping God and to actually be doing it in vain.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. Thanks for joining us online today as well at kpcg.fm. We'll be right back to Live by Every Word with your host, Brian Davis. To help you understand more about today's topic, request our free booklet, No Freedom Without Law. You can find this at thetrumpet.com and request your free copy. People everywhere fight and strive for greater freedom, and at the same time, they fight against law. That shows a dangerous misunderstanding of the nature of true freedom and the need for righteous law. The fact is, without law, there is no real freedom. So the question is, do we have the attitude toward law that leads to real freedom? Make sure you request this free booklet, No Freedom Without Law. You can find it at thetrumpet.com. Have it sent to you, the physical booklet, or you can download it and read it on the personal device of your choice, or you can read it right at the website, thetrumpet.com. Lots of ways to get the free booklet. No Freedom Without Law. It's available at thetrumpet.com.
This is Live by Every Word. Here is your host, Brian Davis.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, we were talking about the law, and anytime you bring up the subject of law, most people will think of grace, because most people think in terms of grace or law. They think, well, you're either saved by grace or you're saying that you're saved by law. Now, is that even a proper question to ask? Is that even the right way to view the subject? Are Christians really saved by grace alone, period, as so many people say? Are Christians saved by faith without obedience to God's law? Does grace do away with God's law? These are important questions that most people really never do ask even, and much less get the answers to. Does anyone that teaches that you must obey the Ten Commandments, are they teaching that you earn salvation through works? Many people say that. If anyone tells you that you should keep the Ten Commandments, or that the law is not done away with, or that you should keep God's law, well, they're an old covenant religion. They're just old covenant people, and they're not living under grace, and they don't believe in grace, and they teach that you have to earn your salvation through works. Is that true? Can you just assume that you know the right answer to that? Let's take an honest look at this subject of grace and law and salvation. Most people, as I said, they just start out by saying, well, it's either grace or law. But that's not even the right statement. That's not even a right question, really. Let's just establish something here at the very beginning that's vitally important. Ephesians 2, you need to really understand this, and you need to understand where we're coming from in viewing this subject. Ephesians 2, the Apostle Paul here is writing to the congregation at Ephesus, and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved." For by grace are you saved. Now, most people say, see, we're saved by grace alone, period. That's the end of it. Close the book, and you don't have to read anything else. Well, it is true that we're saved by grace. Grace is free, unmerited pardon. It is something that's given. It's something you don't deserve. You haven't earned. So when we talk about law-keeping, we're not talking about it from a standpoint of keeping the law in order to earn salvation. Not at all. Salvation is by grace. By grace are you saved. But notice it goes on and says through faith. So it's not grace alone, period. Close the book. Yes, it is by grace. You are saved by grace. But it says through faith. And that not of yourselves. See, it's not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Just like Romans 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. By the way, you need to think, well, what is sin then? If you earn a wage by sinning, a wage is something you get paid, and death is the payment for sin. Well, what is sin? Who knows what the Bible definition of sin is? Very few people will know that, and the ones that do don't want to give you an answer to it. They don't want to give you an answer to it. Hold your place here in Ephesians 2, and let's just turn to 1 John, 1 John chapter 3, and we'll just answer that question. You hear people talk about sin all the time, but if you ask them, well, what is sin? Tell me what sin is. They'll say, well, doing bad things or doing evil or doing something that goes against your conscience. Is that what the Bible says sin is? And you can ask, well, give me a Bible definition of sin, and very few will know the answer. And those who do will not want to quote this verse, 1 John 3 and verse 4, whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, that's what God says. Sin is the transgression of the law. So when people say that the law is done away with, that we are not supposed to be keeping God's law, that we live on the other side of the cross, well, then I guess they're saying that there is no such thing as sin. Well, that's certainly contrary to your Bible. That's contrary in about probably 100,000 verses where it's contrary. But there is a Bible definition for sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is the breaking of God's law. When you break God's law, you're sinning. And when we repent of sin. We repent of breaking God's law. And repentance means to change. It means to turn around and go in a different direction. So when you repent, you're saying, well, I want to stop breaking God's law and instead turn around, go in the opposite direction and start keeping God's law. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus Christ taught. Now let's go back to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 again. Now by saying that, by defining what sin is, by defining repentance that way, by reading what Jesus Christ said, that in no way is teaching that we're saved by our works or that we can earn our salvation through works or by law keeping or by any other kind of works. There are all sorts of works. There are all sorts of things that people do trying to be saved. Penance in many different religions. Penance where they just do different things, kind of like punishment for their sins. And yet they don't even have a definition for what sin is. Now, we need to think about this and really understand what God's Word actually says about this subject. And be honest with yourself and open your mind to understand the truth. Verse 8 of Ephesians 2, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest any man should boast." Now, that's pretty clear. You cannot earn salvation through works or through law-keeping or through anything else. It is a gift. It is unmerited. It's something that God gives us. But it's not that we're saved by grace alone, period, and you close your book. We're saved by grace through faith. And we don't earn it. It is a gift from God, and we cannot go around boasting about it. But most people stop reading. They don't go on and read the very next verse. Now, if you fail to read verse 10, you're not going to understand this, and then we even have to look elsewhere in the Bible to fully understand it. But look, we don't earn salvation. Salvation comes by grace, and it comes by grace through faith, and even that faith is supplied by God. I mean, after all, we're the workmanship in God's hands. He's the master potter. We're the clay. And we are his workmanship, as verse 10 says. But notice what else it says here. Well, let me just back up and read it again in context. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." Now, almost no one reads Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10. They'll read Ephesians 2 and verse 8. They may read Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, but then they stop, and they don't read that we are to go on unto good works. We are to produce good works. We are to have good works, you see, but that doesn't earn salvation. If that in some way earned salvation, well, then we would be able to demand of God and say, well, he owes us this payment of salvation, almost like a debt, like God owes us salvation. That's not what this is about at all. We are God's workmanship. We're the clay. He's the master potter. He has called us. He is the one molding us, shaping us, teaching us how to think, teaching us how to live. And the law is how God lives. I'll show you that as we go along in studying this subject. And certainly, we don't earn salvation. It's a gift from God. We are his workmanship. We cannot go around boasting. Salvation does not come by works or things that we can do or things that we accomplish, and then God owes it to us. Not at all. But also, we don't go and throw out the law and throw out good works, and keeping God's law is righteousness, and it is good works. Not committing adultery is a good work. Not lying, not stealing, not cheating. You see, those are good works that we are to go on and do. and not bowing down to idols, not having other gods before us, not taking God's name in vain, keeping God's Sabbath day. You see, all of those commandments, God's law, those are good works. The law is righteousness, it says in Psalm 119. It also says there that if you keep God's law, you're going to have great peace of mind. Do you have peace of mind? Do you have good understanding? Only those that keep God's law will have a good understanding and will have peace of mind and will have joy and harmony in their minds. You need to really think deeply about this subject. You see, you need to fully understand how you are saved and fully understand this subject of grace, law, and salvation. You know, no amount of law keeping, no amount of any kind of works can earn you salvation. But a lack of works can certainly cause you to lose out on salvation. Let me give you an analogy. My children, I've raised four children and still in the process of raising a couple of those. And if I wanted to give my children, let's say, an ice cream cone, and I say, hey, I want to give you the free gift of ice cream. Now, there's no way that those children could earn, quote unquote, that ice cream. It is a gift from me. They wouldn't even know that ice cream existed if I didn't teach them about ice cream. They have no way of going out and earning money. They wouldn't be big enough to go drive a car and go to the store to get it. Even if the ice cream was in our home, in the freezer, they wouldn't be tall enough to reach up to the freezer to open it and get the ice cream out. There's absolutely no way those children can earn that ice cream by their works or by their actions. No way. No way they can earn it. It is a free gift from me to them. Now, if I say to my children, I want to give you this free gift, this ice cream, come over here and give me a hug and a kiss and say thank you. Now, what if one comes forward and gives me a hug and a kiss and has a beautiful attitude and is very thankful and very obedient? And let's say another one is not and says, I'm not coming over there, and gets in a foul attitude and doesn't want to give me a hug and a kiss, doesn't want to say thank you. Am I still obligated to give that free gift? Can I not say, hey, because of your attitude, because of your disobedience, I'm not going to give you that ice cream cone? That's exactly the way it is when we talk about grace and law and salvation. No amount of works could ever earn salvation, but a lack of works can certainly cause you to lose out on that free gift of salvation by grace through faith. We'll continue looking into this subject next week. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on The Voice 101.3 KPCG and on the web at kpcg.fm.